Yeah, Zach, what the fuck?
Sorry. Literally just got out of a Let's Circle Back meeting, but I turned the lingo off from a bros. I'm like, some of us.
You mean with your stakeholders? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, my resources as the program management would suggest.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, resources means humans, right?
Well, it can.
Ones that you can explicitly exploit, I believe, was the idea.
Yeah. Employees are resources, yes.
Love that.
Yeah.
What is that
shit? Just like materials, also resources.
You have to mine them from the earth.
Oh, that's cool. I love
them. Yeah, we only employ Uruk-hai, the fighting Uruk-hai. You may have heard of them.
Oh, yeah. Oof. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do have to mine those from the earth.
Yeah. The hardest thing was getting a license to use the White Hand of Saruman. But, you know, like, we have a good negotiation team.
They don't just give those out. That's true.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah.
That's why, so that's quite, that's why we have Blue Wizard brand. Uruk-hai.
Mm-hmm. Palomino, is that the one's name?
I don't remember their, like, whatever post-hoc names.
Palendo? Mm-hmm. Palendio? I don't know. There's two of them.
Catalina Wine Mixer Buddy? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
No. So, circling back to a previous conversation... Talking about how you got an egg hookup now, and somebody might just be reselling eggs. Do you think that they just designed like a suit where they can go take a single egg out of each carton and then stash them all around their body, and then they got that them egg Lucy's?
Man, if you bump into
this, is what you're
anything.
Worried about forgetting.
Yeah.
If you bump into anything on the way out of the store, your day has changed massively. You just went from a cool scheme to a real fucking problem.
I thought this egg hustle was going to turn out gangbusters for me, but I'm just paying so much on dry cleaning fees. Like,
as an old lady,
and I'm kicked out of several grocery stores.
An old lady accidentally hits you with a cart, and then you're just leaking egg out of your pants as you try to leave the store.
You're just, as they're kicking you out, you're yelling, "Don't worry, it's just my blood," and then they kick you out of the store.
Oh, you see, I was going to say, excuse me, sir. Are you stealing eggs? No, I just have really yellow semen. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
different kind of crime, for sure. Yeah. Oh, well, you still definitely have to leave in that case.
Worse?
Much worse, I think.
Oh, boy. Anyway, yes, that is precisely what I was afraid I would forget.
Okay. Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Fuck him. Two.
Yeah, we're at that point.
One.
Two.
Three.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Faking Movies.
Oh.
Why? Why did you do that?
I don't know, because you said fuck before we started and it got stuck in my head. No, the name of the show is Faking Movies.
I say it like 30 times a day. What?
Fucking Movies is just that guy that has all the VHSs of Jerry Maguire, because you know what he does with those. You know.
Yeah, or that guy nasty. That has all those copies of the 1996 Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Well, it goes without saying. Mm-hmm. He fucks those for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or I guess just pornography. That's
shut up, Lee. That's gross.
As a strong Christian man, I am appalled. But
yeah, definitely not the opposite of of those attributes. But
just strong also. You're the opposite of strong.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of strong. Definitely not Christian. So, yeah.
This is episode 260 fun. We're having a little bit of a fun time.
Does that rhyme with five?
One. It's 261.
I wasn't paying attention.
Sure.
Huh. I guess it does. I don't like it though.
Well,
fun and one. Yeah,
they're gonna be one of those.
They
rhyme.
gonna be as contrary as possible because I hated this movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. So that's established.
Cool.
Yeah. Go on, Zach. You were gonna say.
Oh no, I just said cool. Actually, I do have something to say. I did. Ooh. You're not gonna like it, Lee. You especially. Ooh, big, you are not gonna like it.
Big swingers.
I did not a baby oopsie. I did a full blown adult oopsie and watched the movie The Whale after knowing that I shouldn't have, and I did the thing.
What'd you think?
It's
bummer.
Obviously, yes. Yeah, huge, colossal bummer. I don't know. Brendan's performance is good, but I think the point is just to make you feel bad. Like, there's no moral to it, really. It's just like, man, this sucks, and then it continues to suck. That's kind of it. It's like,
and then he dies.
He
right?
sure yeah. does. Like, he dies at the end. Yeah. Dies
and goes into like a fucking light up heaven tunnel or something.
That's the literal cutscene. Yeah. Yeah. It's so there's like a Moby Dick metaphor that's extremely heavy handed and stupid and like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was not recommendable. It is.
I've heard film critics who, like, I'm not a film critic, I wish.
Well, yeah.
Who people who get paid to be film critics who, like me, really love Moby Dick, talking about, like, if that's it, whatever I don't know what the metaphor, the Moby Dick motif that they decided to use in the movie. It's like,
oh,
if
they're
that,
digging if heard, through sperm whale spum for a while and accidentally
spermaceti is not spum
excuse
it's in
me,
the
excuse me.
Head of
sorry
the,
sorry
yeah.
the spermaceti huh. and they accidentally touch hands in it and that's
the, yeah that is a whole chapter
I know that
it's a great chapter yeah
as the whitest kids taught us all you never let them touch that's just
but I've heard people like Phil, actual real film critics who also love Moby Dick like I do, like step away from the movie thinking like, if you think that that is a thing worth taking away from Moby Dick, you've got you are a terrible reader.
Like, I think
is it yeah. just like, oh, obsession, bad.
No,
I don't know.
Ish. Yeah. The best I could discern was is like the whale is the focal point and it distracts you from how like fundamentally sad the people in the story are. And they're all just sort of chasing this thing or something. Being not a Moby Dick expert, what? I don't know if this is at all true or not, but like his,
that's not even subtext. That's text.
Sure. Yeah.
That is
Brendan
text.
Fraser's whole point is like he goes back to the story often and it's like, yeah, his physical form detracts or it keeps people from realizing that he's a human and that he has feelings and that there's like stuff beyond just his physical appearance. And it's like, yeah, that's like the obvious thing. Like you're not digging deep on any of that shit. Like
this is so fucked up. This is like the kind of message a movie from the 80s like would be putting out. Like, God,
I know,
damn.
It's stupid.
Come on.
Like RoboCop.
Shoot all
penises,
the
American Jesus.
Penis is bad.
Yeah.
Shoot them off.
Blow them up. Yeah. The supporting cast is amazing. The redhead girl from Stranger Things.
Sadie.
She is so, so mean to Brendan Fraser's character.
I have heard nothing but the opposite. I've heard that she is like horrible in that
Well,
movie.
She's unlikable because she's just super mean.
No. I mean like gives a horrible performance.
Oh, I don't know.
I've heard that like across the board.
Oh,
wild.
It made me feel bad for Brendan, which I guess was the point. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. What's her
maybe everybody's just like Stranger Things now.
Oh, yeah. Could be. Oh, yeah. Certainly. Her precog from Minority Report is the mom.
Oh, she's
she's not in it that much, but she does fine. And then Menu, front of house manager lady.
Agatha.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Front of house lady from the Menu.
Hong
yes.
Chow.
She's also quite good.
She got nominated for that.
As she should have. Yeah, and Brendan's good too, but like the movie itself just fucking blows. Ugh.
Now you said you made an adult oopsie, but you did reference baby. Now I've been working my way through the baby oopsie series.
The baby oopsie.
Confusingly, baby a movie that people should watch over the Oscar-nominated movie The Whale. Yes.
Oscar-winning.
Oh
well,
sure,
yeah,
whale. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Baby Oopsie is a Full Moon Features horror movie, and it's quite good.
No, yeah.
Like, I truly found it very engaging, with really good performances, and a really great set of performances from people who happen to be overweight, where that is not the defining characteristic that they have throughout the movie.
It's the opposite sort of thing.
Also, people who are
it's just
barely
that
actors.
People.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The woman who plays Sybil is a stand-up comedian.
Oh,
mostly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But she is like a Full Moon Features person. Yeah. Like
Full Moon is a company that puts out 18,000 horror movies per year kind of thing. Yeah. Like, it's one of those mm-hmm. deals, yeah. So the fact that there's any goodness in that whole thing is very surprising and exciting, yeah.
Yeah, so eventually when we do the Oopsieverse episode, I'll run through my power rankings, because I'm most of the way through it at this point.
There's the Oopsieverse. There's three, right?
Well, there's three, but then there's also...
Wait, are you going to have to do Doll Man and Doll Man 2?
You'd have to do all the Puppet Masters, right?
Yeah, like, I don't want to do the Puppet Masters.
There's only, like, 39 of them. I mean.
And
only half of them are Nazis.
Yeah.
No, it's like, so there's the Demonic Toys, which I haven't seen. There's Doll Man, which fucking owns. There's Bad Channels, which is... not very good. Sure. And I have some fucking plot holes to point out about Bad Channels.
Save it for the ep, my dear.
Oopsieverse episode. I'm saving it, yeah. Then Doll Man versus Demonic Toys, which I did not care for. Which is crazy, because I love Doll Man.
But you haven't seen Demonic Toys. Maybe if you...
I haven't.
Maybe if you had seen Demonic Toys, you would have felt closer aligned with the both partisans of this conflict.
Here's the thing.
Shall I say?
Here's the thing. Doll Man vs. Demonic Toys is a crossover movie between Doll Man, Demonic Toys, and Bad Channels. And there are extensive catch-ups for each movie in the movie.
Jesus. Really doing God's work. Good on them. Yes.
just like full like 5-minute summaries of each of those movies.
Which is crazy, because if they do...
Because the movie is only an hour long.
I was going to say, if they do 3 5-minute summaries, they're already a quarter of the way through the movie.
Honestly, it might be more than that. It might be longer than that.
Fuh.
But then there's, you know, there's also Demonic Toys 2, which I obviously haven't seen. Demonic Toys versus Puppet Master, which I obviously haven't seen because I'm trying to avoid Puppet Master like the fucking plague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the 3 Baby Oopsies. So, you know, which I have seen.
I mean, right? If we already decided that Scream is the Halloween franchise of the year.
Yeah.
Because the absurdity is that there's a fucking TV show.
I know that we joked about doing the TV show, but it's like, we don't have to actually do
TV. Oh, we're doing
the
fucking
show,
TV.
Right?
Yeah, we do.
There's 30 episodes.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
What are you talking about? I'm not going to do that.
That's fine.
I'm not even going to pretend to do that.
Okay.
Also, friend of the show, Kev, has recently watched all the Scream movies. We could get him on board for the movies.
Yeah.
I doubt we could get him on board for the damn TV show.
I'm 100% certain we could get him on board for the TV show. 100%.
You know what? You know what? In recompense, I'll watch this TV show, Zach, if you watch all 4 good series of Star Trek.
That is so many more hours of television.
Oh, it's only 26 episodes per year for 7 years each.
Yeah, so that's an entire calendar year of my time, I think. Yeah.
So which series do you obviously...
Oh, well,
I
mean...
Obviously Next Gen and Deep Space.
I wasn't going to include TOS, and then I was like, fine, maybe TOS. But I don't like TOS.
Because I love
TOS.
See,
I hate it.
If you're doing
it,
just do it. We got to do the whole fucking thing. Well, eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to do fucking Enterprise, though.
Enterprise or Picard.
All the
or,
new ones. Yeah. Discovery.
Yeah. Right. Disco. The Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds is another one. Like, is that a Captain Pike
it
show?
Is.
Like, that's so weird.
I haven't watched it yet, so.
Well, okay. My point being.
So is this like the Captain Pike from the original timeline? It's not the Kelvin
it? It's original Pike, I think.
Okay, so this is before...
It's all over the place.
A Captain Pike TV show, by definition, in the original timeline, has to end before the events of the pilot of the original series,
right,
Menagerie.
I think that it's all
well,
like...
Well, I guess that wasn't the original pilot, but it got used.
It's sort of a between Enterprise, you know, all that stupid shit, and then before TOS. Zach?
Right. Zach, do you know that the last episode of Star Trek Enterprise, it turns out that the whole series was Riker watching a historical documentary
on the holodeck?
I feel like you guys have definitely mentioned that in the past, yes. Yeah.
Probably, because it's infuriating.
We'll find out someday. My point being, Scream is spoken for this year, but the logical next step up would be Puppet Master, or we found out the Amityville series... appears to have like 3 movies in it, but it actually has like 42 movies.
No, but it's because
it's public domain.
I feel like Sister Podcast, The Flop House, already covered this in Amityville in Space, where
they did do an Amityville.
I feel like you guys aren't understanding my position on this. We have to make it more and more weird and painful every year.
Can't we do the Oopsieverse? Like, I'm already so deep in the Oopsieverse, and like, it's fine. I'm enjoying it.
I want to do a film series that I know and you guys don't.
If we do the Oopsieverse, we have to do Puppet Master. Okay, what one? You're paring it down is against the spirit of the game. You have to expand it wherever possible.
I don't think we have to include Puppet Master in the Oopsieverse. Mm. I reserve the right to change my mind after watching Demonic Toys versus Puppet Master,
Is this going to break up the podcast? We're all going to split off and do our own stupid bullshit?
We'll have solo albums.
Yeah. It takes 2 weeks and we're like, yeah, that was a mistake. We're coming back.
Yeah, that was awful.
Well, I called George, so my All Things Must Pass is going to be the Oopsieverse.
I watched all of the Ralph Bakshi movies that ever existed, and it's just wizards.
Right, so you're John, I guess.
Yeah, it's just wizards and
boobs
and boob. No, I mean the movie Wizards is the first one that I think of for Ralph Bakshi.
No, I know, but like Cool World also is a Bakshi.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah. Mm. No, I don't want to do that.
And Bakshi also did Lord of the Rings, which is full of wizards. It's full. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With boobs.
I was explaining Cool World to friend of the show Austin the other day.
Like a bad version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
No, my log line for Cool World is Roger Rabbit with insertion.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And Brad Pitt being the one who is inserted into,
that
I guess.
Is evocative. Yeah.
So anyway, are you team Pitt or are you team fucking Mario Hoskins? I'm team Hoskins.
Yeah, obviously.
But I don't know anything about this movie, so.
Roger Rabbit?
No, I've never seen that either. Yeah.
Oh,
really? Yeah. Oh, it's very good.
It is actually good. Plus, it gave me nightmares because I saw it at my grandma's house, and then
the drip or the dip.
It
rather.
Wasn't the dip. It was the final Chris Lloyd scene where he's like where his mask comes off and he looks like that thing.
Yeah, it's not great.
Man, that just fucked me up for a while because it was also like late at night and in an unfamiliar space. And
yeah. It's like how Gremlins was real scary when you were a kid and then you watch it as an adult and you go, wait, there's nothing scary.
And I watched I watched Gremlins 2 the other day and I was like, holy shit.
Oh, the new batch?
It was so fucking hard to watch.
Oh. I've never been a Gremlins person, but a lot of that I think is because I was never a Looney Tunes kid.
It is pretty slapsticky, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's all slapstick, yeah.
The second one is especially.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you should just watch that Key and Peele sketch where he goes through all of the new permutations of the Gremlins.
Sec, you said you've never seen Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you know enough about what Roger Rabbit
is. Yeah. Toontown, the whole business. Yeah. It's around enough, but yeah, it's, I don't know, never appealed.
Yeah, you should watch it.
That's what everybody says. I'm sure it is, yeah.
Oh, so you're so you're just being a petulant child.
No, like I know
it,
Jessica Rabbit
says you have to watch it.
Well, I do that a lot. Jessica Rabbit's gonna awaken yet another dark passenger, and I don't fucking need that in my life. another one, really? Like,
well, if it makes you feel any better, Kathleen Turner did the voice for Jessica Rabbit, and the '80s are full of like human Kathleen Turner being very sexy on screen. Yep. So like. Sure. You could just convince yourself that you
it's
know,
a similar.
You could
other
try to bury
passenger.
Bury your passenger underneath.
No boner. This already qualifies in a different dark passenger. File that one away.
Have you ever seen Body Heat, Zach? The Kathleen Turner movie with William Hurt.
I don't think so. No.
There's a scene where she is literally leading him around. She's walking ahead of him and holding his dick and like leading him around by his dick.
Wow, fun. The 80s were wild.
Yeah,
it's true.
Good stuff.
That's an important allegory because you see like the whale and its Moby Dick metaphor. Mm. That one is actually about the human body temperature, which should be, I don't know, 35 degrees, right?
I don't know Celsius.
I think he was making a reptile joke. I'm not honestly sure.
No, No, well, I'm pretty sure that's right, right?
Well, there's right. the 90, 98.3, 96.7, 90 something.
98.6. It's, this is like a...
Okay, yeah. It's not the thing we thought it was. There was a Sawbones on it. It's a much more, a much wider range than was previously thought.
So. Oh, interesting.
Ah, man, now that parents know that shit. When I was a kid, I ran a little warm. I used to get to stay home from school all the time.
I'm so 99.1. Oh, better stay home.
Oh, no. I have a fever.
Oh, man.
Lee, I got bad news. They knew. They already knew.
Yeah. Especially because you're doing that voice. But
yeah, even as a child. Yeah.
No, but I feel like if Lee had a time machine, basically he would go back in time to his former self and be like, keep it up. You can get out of school because your parents don't understand.
And that's, change? And that's nothing.
Weirder and louder.
If we had Back to the Future, you'd go back to your old self and be like, you are perfect in every way. Don't change. Yeah, weirder and louder, maybe. Yeah, just ramp it up. Just do more.
Just go harder. Hey, have you heard about velour suits or whatever? Yeah. Yes, you have.
Get in the ground floor on that one. You'll be happy about it.
Hey, terry cloth. Hey, it's gonna go over big in high school, and then not for a while, and then again.
And the old professor character.
I didn't wear terry cloth in high school. If I had worn terry cloth in high school, I'd be a different man.
Well, yeah, you would have had your ass beat to death.
There's the old professor character is asking you, so you don't want to go kill Hitler or invest in Apple stock, and you're like, absolutely not. I have one goal. Bolster child self-confidence.
That's a great goal. I feel like this is a movie that we should make. Hollywood, are you listening to this podcast at all? Because we have had 261 great ideas so far.
It's true. We are the
Speaking
best.
Of which, Zach is faking a movie this week.
I suppose I am, yeah. The casts get longer and longer.
Shit, I completely forgot what I did again. And it was like a day ago.
This one takes up
it was yesterday.
5 lines of my text file.
I was reading this one yesterday when you sent it to me, and I was like, even if I had a note for this, I don't know if I could figure out what's even going on here to give a note.
I feel like I am in an increasingly complex mental study of some sort. Seth is pushing the boundaries of human conception.
Of both pain and pleasure.
Yeah, I guess I'm in a Hellraiser. Yeah.
I was going to say I'm the Cenobite of words.
Yeah, well, I would say that, yes.
We've established that I am the Cenobite of having
a CD or something?
Hand sanitizer and paper cuts.
Sure.
And that inward sort of sound you make with your teeth. Yeah.
And you're the Cenobite of words.
Yeah, I just really fuck you up. Anyway, yes, Zach.
What's Zach the Cenobite of?
I don't know.
Let's think
about it.
It needs to be
emergent, right?
Sure.
I mean, can't force Lee it. Came up with his own, which is on brand. Mine is sort of...
Sure is.
And yours found
family. So I think Zach's will sort of emerge out of him in a future time, because Cenobites probably don't have the same sort of time space.
Oh, they are out of time. They live in several dimensions.
Yeah, just like hand sanitizer and Lee, just out of time.
Very much that same class.
I don't know what that means. So, Zach, what's the cast I gave you?
Yep. Well, the movie's called Running Scared, for starters. Boy, howdy. Here we go.
Yep.
Wild Will Billy Crystal Champagne-style sparkling wine, : a symphony of purity and elegance, end quote, that didn't have a starting quote. That's it. That's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I meant that colon to be a quote, because that's the slogan for Cristal champagne style sparkling wine.
Is Cristal not an actual champagne?
I don't think so. I mean, it could be, I just sort of assumed that it was a champagne style sparkling wine.
Oh, I thought it was French. We'll never know.
I don't know.
We're not those
and
people.
I don't have the wherewithal to look it up. Anyway, that's what that one means.
Yep, that's the first one.
Plus Wild Bill. Wild Will Billy.
Wild Will Billy, yeah.
It's a good cowboy name.
It's fun, yeah. Wait, did you mean... No, I fucking did not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As
next up.
As Gregor, Samsa awoke one morning from uneasy dreams. He found himself transformed in his bed into a giant insect, E. Hines. Wow.
That's the opening line to the Metamorphosis.
You mashed 11 words inside the word Gregory, which is very fun.
By the way, Cristal is a champagne.
Okay, I kind of thought so.
Well, I apologize to the Cristal Corporation.
Oh, they're doing fine. Don't worry about them. Yeah.
Formulated especially for the Russian Tsar.
Oh.
Confusing.
Okay. But Joseph. Yeah, Gordon E. Pantoliano. That's just good, clean fun. Sometimes you don't need to overdo it, Just some butter on some matzo, really all you need sometimes.
I feel like lately the real dumb tight ones have been the ones that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but you know, there's no light without darkness, and I feel like you need that darkness of the incredibly long tortured ones.
Mm.
That's true.
You gotta have the contrast.
Because
for sure.
I am a traveler of the ultimate limits of Flesia.
Yep. These are way funnier if you read them right back to back.
Oh, do it again. Do it again.
Okay. We have Joseph Gordon E. Pantoliano. We have Dansif Godrin. Hey, did you get that thing I sent you, Adea? Aya? I think you forgot letters in the actual name there. It doesn't matter. And we have Jimothy Smith's Skulls Taste the Rainbow. I think Seth just choked himself.
Yeah. Oh, he's crying.
Yeah, he's weeping. Literally.
Oh,
weeping.
My God. Just the way you performed that one. Oh.
I had to sound that one out in my head. Jimmy, the full word Jimmy, and then Othy at the end of it. So Jimmy-othy Smith. It's just a lot.
I love that no matter how dark things get, we do make ourselves laugh.
That's kind of all we've got, yeah. The one consistency of this waking nightmare we find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. By the way, really quick, preemptive apology. I don't know what's going on. One of my neighbors is just... There's just a rhythmic thumping coming from outside, and I don't see it on any of my waveforms, but I'm sure it'll be in the recording for whoever's
listening.
One
man drum circle, and he brought the most boring drum, just a weird bass drum.
He's just got a bass.
Yeah, sounds like when I was a little kid and I would turn over a 5-gallon bucket and just boom, boom.
Like a busker.
Am I drum? Did I do drum? Do I get my merit badge now? Like,
yes, just please stop. Please.
So what's the actual cast?
Yeah. Oh, you want me to run through that whole thing again?
If you want to.
Well, the real names, I would
Running
say.
Running Scared has Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines, Dan Hedaya, Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants himself, Dan Jimmy Smits, Bail Organa.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't have any false starts here. I know there's probably another one of these coming my way, so I didn't want to like...
It was a flash of genius.
Not so much that. I think I was like driving when this came to me, and I did a Lee dictate into my notes thing. I should have dictated it to you. Oh. Well, no, that would have ruined it because you're a part of this whole situation.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is my traditional way of doing it, calling you and telling you to hang up so I can leave you
It
a
has
message.
Been a while since I've gotten a Lee thing that has no bearing on my life, but it's just a thing he wants to know for himself. But I'm the like weird answering machine in this country.
Well, it's because I'm driving and I don't ever use my voice memos. So they're like folders deep on my phone.
Sure.
So like it's quicker to do.
I find it incredibly endearing, so it's wonderful.
I agree.
I know, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I think I deleted an entire paragraph of this before we started, so I'm just gonna
no, it's probably
have to off the dome the beginning part here, so
just power through. It's funny you said you came up with this while driving. Mm-hmm. Just like the invention from the movie Flash of Genius, so it's perfect.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Is it about the Model T or something? I don't know.
It's, you know what, Seth? Closer than you'd think.
No.
All right.
The Model T of spacecraft?
No.
Like the Model T of aircraft?
No. You
like the Model T of Velocipede.
I guess technically closer.
Lee, if you just say yes, again, he'll stop doing this.
Like the Model T of the Farmall brand.
No, it's like a part of the Model T.
God in heaven.
Well, I didn't know we were talking about parts of things, or I would have stopped guessing earlier and been like, it was the crankshaft, wasn't it?
Every time.
Oh, you really are the Cenobite of words.
Yeah, is it because we just said it, now you feel like you have to really drive it home? Is that what we're doing? Oh, my Christ. All right. So, starting off this movie, we begin with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines running in the Boston Marathon. Gregory Hines might be doing a cool tap dance every couple of steps, because, you know, he's real good at that thing. So,
he is, yeah.
Yep. So they're running, we're in like mile 21, like we're nearing the end. They're in that like delirium stage where they're not paying attention to anything. And it's just like, mm-hmm. God, help me get across this line.
I don't know what that feels like, but continue.
Oh yeah.
I know you guys know what that feels like when I go off on one of my tangents.
Oh, oh, I thought you were implying we run marathons. I was like, that is insanity.
No. I gave myself a shin splint doing a 5K on a treadmill 12 years ago. So, yeah. Like, that has still not healed. So, no, there will be no marathons in my life. Yeah.
Okay. So, eventually they do cross the finish line. They're like, you know, obviously sort of still delirious. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. God. But they realize finally, as they, like, come to their senses, they look around and they realize that, oh, my God, they're in a zombie apocalypse. It is happening. It was happening all around them. It is now currently happening. And, you know, in their sort of delirious state, they don't really know, you know, there's no really like conversation or forethought, but they are quite tired and everything. But given the impending doom, they muster the energy to jog into a building to find safety for like the immediate, you know, time being. Mm-hmm.
So I see in the universe of this movie, there was not a noticeable zombie apocalypse happening when the marathon started. Yes. And by the time it's, like, bleeding into the actual background, they are, like, too fucked up on the running.
They didn't notice the whole time. But it was happening the whole time. I mean, you think about it.
It's just been building the whole time. So, like, maybe we have, like, the movie opens with a montage where things are getting weirder and weirder.
Yes, as we're following them, and I think in the background you're seeing this happen, but the focus is very specifically on them. And so it's like we're seeing it, but we're also realizing they clearly don't see it.
It's a real opening of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And also, the Boston Marathon is apparently one of the biggest drinking events in Boston. Like, you just go out as a spectator and get fucking hammered all day and watch people run. But
wow. I never would have expected that from the great city of Boston.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people crowded together.
There's also like a much earlier than usual Red Sox game always going on at the same time. And like
a lot of people crowded together makes for a good zombie outbreak, right?
So. Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. A zombie outbreak at Fenway. Talk about a green monster.
And everybody else in the world goes, hey, many birds, one stone. Let's just bomb it and be over with it. Yeah. Fuck Boston. So we do all the initial panicky bits, and they get to the, like, we have to make a plan if we stand any chance of surviving this part. Mm-hmm. It's all very abrupt, of course, because, you know, we're just sort of getting used to the situation. Right. So it's at this point that they have to venture out from this initial shelter because, you know, probably somebody like breaks in a glass door or something, and it's like, ah, shit, panic again. And this is when we're keyed into the zombie mechanism. As you know, many zombie movies have, like, you know, there's sort of the usual tropes. You got fast zombies, you got slow zombies, you know, it depends on the thing. Sometimes they change like a thing. And in this one, they run, obviously, out of fear. They're very tired, but they're, you know, very in shape. They just ran a goddamn marathon. So they're fearful, so they're running, of course. And we see that the zombies don't react to them or even seem to notice them when they're running. With some heavy-handed exposition, we explain that the specific way that their brains have been affected messes with their eyesight so that they can see, like, stationary things. I think like some dinosaurs were kind of like this too. Like, they can see things that don't move, but as soon as things start to move, like even like a brisk walk, they can't track it. And so you're safe for zombies as long as you're running, essentially. Mm-hmm. Have to move at a certain pace.
So reverse T-Rex.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess in true movie, zombie movie style, we eventually meet the others along the way. There's definitely the usual hijinks with like the obvious stumbling blocks as folks that can't run for various reasons, because that's like the one mechanism we care about here. Mm-hmm. So I guess Dan Hedaya is like not in very good shape.
Oh, you mean Dance of God?
I do mean that. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. I had already forgotten.
Hey, did you get that thing I sent you?
Uh-huh. That is the one that I mean. Yes.
Oh my God. That was what you were. I also forgot already. It was so complex.
Yes, it was. So he's not in good shape.
You know, kicking back to a very early episode of faking movies, you made a movie where Dan Hedaya has an enormous dick. Maybe that's what's hurting him.
I did. Was it the movie Dick? I don't remember
that. Might have been.
It was.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen the movie Dick. Maybe it was after that. Mm, okay.
Wait, no, it wasn't the movie Dick. It was a Dan Hedaya movie.
There are many.
And he definitely had a giant dick.
He was probably Rookie of the Year.
I don't think we've ever done
that. Oh, well, I just know him from Rookie of the Year. Oh,
okay.
Sure.
Okay, so...
that really killed it. Wowee.
He holds them back. This is the part of the Cenobite movie where everybody goes, you know what? Not today. No. Cenobite's like, oh, shit.
I do not have time to solve your stupid puzzle right now. My God.
They walk out of the room and they go, wait, we could have done that the whole time.
You could have just left?
Yeah, that was an option.
That was always an option.
I guess so, yeah.
Says the Cenobites as they leave.
They go, hey, and then the door closes. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, but he's sort of lovable, so they can't just immediately abandon him. Sure. Like, there's always this... These are very sort of archetypal struggles in zombie movies. Joey Pants maybe has, like, a baby or something complicated. Again, a thing that happens a lot in these kinds of movies.
Like, in the movie Junior? That is pretty complicated. Oh,
literally has a baby. Sure, yeah, why not? Jimmy Smits is probably the canonical... tries to grab power in the new lawless, like, vacuum of power kind of situation.
So he's playing a politician, like he almost always does. He
does really do that thing. He's got a face for
like
it.
Like Bail Organa.
Much yeah, like Bail Organa, or President Jimmy Smits, whose name I don't know, from the West Wing.
Matt Santos.
Okay, President sure Jimmy Smits.
From West Wing.
Yep, sure enough.
He does get elected at the
end.
So, you know, they have to contend with him. He's sort of the, like, evil but not a zombie portion
of
the show.
Yeah, of course. There always is one.
Right. Essentially, every time they think they have the situation figured out, something interrupts it, and they have to run again, as one does in zombie movies typically. So eventually we reach a coastline, which is an obvious, very physical dead end, presents a problem because we literally can't run anymore. They were sort of relying on that the whole time, but now we can't. We do one big final standoff with the horde of zombies, and then they happen upon an abandoned boat, miraculously. Like, there's always sort of the big key out somehow.
Yeah, an 11th hour boat.
You don't really want to end a zombie movie on like a bummer, so like you always have to give them some kind of out. They boat on out to this small island. I'm thinking like Vancouver Island. Maybe not that small. People live on Vancouver Island, but you know, something like that.
Well, there's the island in that body of water between Vancouver Island and Washington State where the pig war was almost fought.
Right.
So we could just say that
okay,
island.
Sure. Yeah. That works.
Look up the pig
it's
war.
It's fascinating.
I feel like
it's so stupid.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about this. I definitely remember reading that Wikipedia page. Yeah. So yeah, there's some structures there. You know, they sort of file into this thing thinking that they're safe. Everything's good. Finally. As the camera pans out to the beach, where we get a final jump scare of a zombie hand emerging from the water and clawing its way onto like the pebbly sand. Mm-hmm. And that's the end, obviously setting it up for a sequel. So, you know, kind of, I guess I got to the end and was like, it's sort of a textbook zombie movie, but like, you know, those can be fun, I guess.
I mean, it can be really
fun. So are you suggesting that if we do in fact give you another movie called Running Scared, that you are going to make the sequel to this movie?
I guess that's the predicament we find ourselves in, isn't it?
Because I'm all here for it. I want to know,
you know,
more about
in 261 this. Episodes we've never made a sequel to one of our own movies. That's interesting.
That is a great point.
That never even crossed my mind now that you mention it. I don't know.
You're welcome.
I didn't love this one, so I don't know that would be great. I'll probably come up with something else, but
I mean, they made a fucking sequel to 28 Days Later. That movie
keep talking
shit.
About
I know a lot of people
months
like
and
that
years
movie.
It was one of the first with really fast zombies, so it was sort of like
it's the one that made
28 Days was sort of fun, but not as fun as people think it was.
Yeah, I agreed.
Weeks is not very good. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, well, that's the thing.
Okay. Zombie movie. Classic core. And I like how you made our two mains of Wild Billy Bill Bob.
Yep.
Crystal.
Billy and Gregory. And
Crystal.
And Gregory Samsa awoke. Blah, 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 blah.
Tappity
blah, blah,
tap, blah, tap. Blah. Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, super Zach, ripped. I liked how you made them like super in shape because that's important. That's a weirdly important part of this.
Again, Gregory Hines, probably the most famous tap dancer ever, I guess. So he's got to be in shape. And then Billy Crystal from what I assume was
anyone who's actually famous for that.
Well, yeah. And Billy Crystal from the 80s was like, you know, not old, so he was. And
Gregory Hines is probably the most famous tap dancer of the 80s, I guess. Yeah, sure, maybe.
Not of all time? I feel like maybe all time.
No.
Have you watched a musical ever?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. By the way, Zach, Commando is episode 31 is the movie where you made Dan Hedaya have a big dick. Oh, weird.
Okay.
Interesting. Hmm. Yeah.
Simpler times. Oh,
sorry,
simpler
I've times. Been doing that while you were doing the movie. That's why I wasn't interrupting.
You were
interrupting.
Doing the Lee Looks Off to the Right thing, so I knew you weren't paying any attention to my movie, which is fine. You often do that.
That is the thing that he does. It's true.
You need to put it on the front screen because it's super obvious
why didn't you just put it on the front screen?
Yeah. Have you ever been in a work meeting? Like, this is work meeting 101.
My God.
You don't
How
put
did
the,
you
the
watch pornography at work?
Listen, I was paying attention. I was just doing that also.
Sure. Yeah.
Wait, you were also watching pornography and looking obviously. That up? Uh-huh,
right. It was preventing me from interrupting you. You're welcome.
That's a fair point. Okay.
Yeah, weird. Mm. Okay.
The devil you know.
So, Zach, you want the IMDb one? Yeah, I guess one. Sentence summary.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so this is a 1986 film.
Oh, the year of our me and Seth.
No, I'm 7.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, old man. Mm-hmm.
Very weird. Okay.
Look at your life. I'm a lot like you. Anyway.
Don't laugh.
Seth is really bathing in his Seth status. Like,
we did give him some, or no, he thinks we gave him some carte blanche that we did not give him.
What does a carte blanche mean in the randomness of this universe?
Yeah.
That feels more verbal.
All right. What does a carte blanche mean in terms of the experience?
No, it's the voice.
Oh, yeah. It's the one that sounds exactly like Werner Herzog.
It's the voice.
The volcano is destruction and creation. No, that's too French. Anyway, two streetwise Chicago cops have to shake off some rust. After returning from a Key West vacation, to pursue a drug dealer who nearly killed them in the past. I don't know why this summary starts after the halfway point of the film.
I can see why you had to take a minute to figure out if that was one sentence or not, because, boy, howdy.
And also, Key West vacation happens at, literally the halfway point. So,
Yeah, right. This is literally two halves of one story with a little musical montage in the middle.
I love how aspirational the 80s movies were too. Everybody goes to a beach or some shit. It's like, hey, this is what we all want to be doing. Cocaine.
There's a lot of cocaine.
There's
a lot
there of cocaine
in this movie. In fact, the only good thing Jimothy Smith Skulls Taste the Rainbow does is just yelling my cocaine, my cocaine, over and over and over again from the top of a building near the end, near the climax.
Super fun. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'll go a little longer, although I truly don't know how much longer we need to go.
Yeah.
Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal are partners. They're trying to shake down Pantoliano for
they're
info.
Somewhat they... unorthodox cops.
Joey.
Yeah, well, they're like... not exactly undercover, but ish.
I think they wrote this is an undercover cop car on the side of their crappy car.
No, it's on the poster for the movie. In the second half of the movie, someone that they try to encourage to be a snitch spray paints "This is an unmarked police car" on their car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fun.
So they're trying to get info from Joe Pantoliano, who might be playing a doing a like a Hispanic thing in this movie.
I can't remember his name, but it was kind of
it was Snake. He was Snake.
but he's working for Julio Gonzalez.
He was definitely doing a voice. Yeah. Anyway,
it's not great.
He's got a big old like pink mohawk Pantoliano. Too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, ethnic is ethnic in Hollywood.
Sure is.
So he leads them to fucking Jimmy Smits, who is a guy that they've busted before but is out of prison and is like, in his words, he's trying to become the new Al Capone of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be the first Latin godfather of Chicago.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they go to this bust and it kind of goes sideways. Jimmy Smits gets away. Pantoliano gets killed. They do end up arresting Jimmy Smits, but like, it doesn't stick. Also, there's two like undercover DEA agents that were involved in this whole thing that you think are going to be bad guys at the end, but turns out they were just shitty.
They were like pretending to be enforcers for
Jimmy Smits. Yeah,
Smits Gold States the Rainbow, and then they turned out trying to be good to get guys. Us through it.
Okay, I love when goof movies like this.
They turned out to be shitty, but not in the way you would think.
Yeah,
this sounds like
and one of
this is a comedy, I presume, right? Like a buddy cop thing.
It's a little. Like, it's like an action comedy. But
I love when they try to overcomplicate things with like, let's make a like weird connections, and it's like, no one's here for this. What are you doing?
There's things.
Oh my
there's
God,
things.
Okay. So much.
Yeah. Also, one of those shitty cops was John Grise, who is Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, among many other things. He's on White
Lotus.
He looks
like a cop.
He's...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got like real like Serpico hair and beard going on in this one. So,
much like Napoleon Dynamite. Kind of. Dan
Hedaya.
No, that's not Serpico
like
at all. Dan Hedaya is their captain, and they're like, hey, we made this big bust, and he's like, oh, guess what? It doesn't count, and all this shit. And it's like, you guys are in trouble. You're suspended. And while they're also being suspended, Billy Crystal gets an inheritance from his aunt. Mm-hmm.
Jeez,
and
I didn't even notice that. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, he gets 40 grand as of an 40 grand inheritance, and he's like, hey, we're suspended. Let's go to Key West on vacation. So now there's 10 minutes of him and Gregory Hines.
At least 10 minutes.
Fucking cut and ripped.
Yeah,
like in just the tiniest little booty shorts and like weird little half shirts, like partying in Key West.
I sent Lee a specific message, and I was like, damn, the only thing I like about this movie is Billy like showing off Billy Crystal's CGs.
Yeah, you don't think of him as a sex symbol per se.
No, but he did. So Zach, what does CG stand for?
It's cum cutters. So, yeah, I was,
yeah, okay, yeah. Good.
Was that a test? You mentioned there's a lot of cocaine in this movie. It sounds like a lot of cocaine was produced this movie, perhaps. This is just like, hey, what's another idea? Give me fucking 13 of them right now.
Everybody's really sweaty all the time. It's very impossible.
Everybody is sweaty.
So they do their little vacation, and while they're there, they're like, hey, this is great. Why are we being Chicago cops and getting shot at all the time? We should retire. Mm-hmm. And become and buy a bar, and they literally buy a bar while they're there, but they have to give their like 30-day notice. So they go up to Chicago and it's like, hey, we're gonna retire, and Dan Hedaya is like, well, before you do, you should get on this case and try to solve it before you're
that
done.
Was an option at so all? The rest they could have already retired and they just didn't.
Well, they don't have their full 20 years in, but they can still get partial pensions or something. It's like, there's a big, long discussion.
I forgot, that is
kind of
how that works,
like,
I think.
I mean, maybe in the Chicago Police Union, but...
Anyway, so Dan Hedaya is like, you should solve this case. The rest of the movie is them trying to solve the case. Eventually, they do. There's a big standoff at the end.
I absolutely
And at the end
out.
Of the fucking movie, they decide, you know what? Let's not retire. We love being cops.
Wow. That ages well.
I checked out as soon as the Key West stuff was done. Like, as soon as they were back in Chicago, I was like, I don't know. I'm going to do something else while this is happening.
I want to live in that Key West mind frame forever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They had a funny goof where they both caught, like, 15-foot marlins. There's a bunch of cans in one of them. So the weight was not the same, so they lost some big prize. There was a lot of roller skating and or skateboarding down boardwalks, both of them, just showing off those CGs, just all over the place. It was amazing. You could I mean, geez, you could fight the Germans in World War I from those. Some trenches.
Cum trenches, CTs? Oh, that's a whole different ball game. Seth's playing 5D chess. Just...
Oh, not going to get mustard gas poisoning in there. I'll tell you that much.
All right.
Talking about a no man's land.
We have to be very careful, but there is a t-shirt that says cum trenches. We have to be very careful, though. Very
does not. I don't think there is. Other, unless it's like battle plans. like battle schematics, and you have like Billy Crystal on one side. And uh-huh. It just says.
Well, Seth, I think you just figured out what you're doing the rest of tonight, so good luck on that Photoshop.
Yeah, you better hurry up, because Cafe Press has free shipping for the rest of the day. So.
Oh, well, you don't tell us anymore? Oh, you used to tell us all the time.
No.
I already made you a Grease 2 Warhammer.
That's true.
Crossover
you
today.
Did. Yeah. Yes, you did. Stephanie Zanoni is God Empress of the
Universe.
Yeah,
it turns out.
Okay. So that's
that
the move.
Sucks.
Sure. I'm glad there wasn't anything after cum trenches. Hard to recover from that.
Seth, is there anything you want to talk about? I have like some behind the scenes stuff.
Literally the only thing I can think about is them cum trenches. So.
Yep, I figured. Okay. So I guess in that spirit, Gregory Hines, part of the reason he took the role is because he said, I'm not quoting, but I'm paraphrasing a quote I read. He's like, black guys never get to be sexual in movies, and I'm the only guy who gets sex scenes in this movie.
That's true.
So I think that's awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
Now
I have one thing. Wait. Yeah. I have Roger Ebert's critique, which was
right.
This film, which he liked the movie, he said this film transcends its dreary roots and turns out to be a lot of fun. I think not.
Huh.
Roger.
You have to remember he wrote that in the 80s. All probably also on cocaine. So like,
no, that's
know.
True.
Yeah,
this.
I guess that's true.
Anyway, times change. Continue your stuff, Lee. That's my one thing.
So, the original version of the script was supposed to be Gene Hackman and Paul Newman.
Oh wow, mm-hmm. Different vibe entirely. Woofers.
Yeah, so it was originally supposed to be set in New York with two old cops.
Yeah, I was gonna say that there's a generational
in which case the
gap
retirement
there.
Makes a lot more sense.
Sure. But the sexy parts make much less sense, so yeah.
Here's the guy who directed it, Peter Himes, directed 2010, the year we made Contact, the 2001 sequel.
Oh boy.
And
the one that My God is Full of Stars actually was set on film in.
Comes from.
It was in the book, but right. Anyway.
Which I'm reading.
Oh, sorry, spoilers. Spoilers, Lee. I gave you the ending where he says,
yeah,
My God is Full of Stars.
I kind of knew that. Anyway, so he makes this movie, and it was successful enough that they were like, hey, what do you want to do now? And he's like, I want to do an action comedy, but one where the action isn't, like, mean and the comedy isn't stupid. Hmm. And I guess he, I don't know, he kind of did that.
It doesn't sound like it, but okay.
yeah.
This is what I really like about it. This is him talking about it is like, yeah, the MGM was like, well, how about this script? It's about two old cops in New York who want to retire. And I said, what about two young cops in Chicago who don't want to retire?
Whoa, that's totally different.
That's like, exactly what I want.
Why would you do that? What?
Yeah, that's dumb.
That's like a whole new movie. Yeah. That's not just like change a thing here or there. You just said I want to do
a
different
whole new
movie,
but not really. Like,
I mean, it's the same general scene dressing, right?
Yeah,
you just have to hire enough schlubby white guys to pass for some kind of American police officer,
cops.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he wanted Crystal and Hines like specifically because. He wanted Crystal because he could do improv, and he wanted Gregory Hines because he just thought Gregory Hines was cool.
He is, absolutely, so, as far as I'm aware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That those are compelling
from what I can
men.
Tell,
like,
yes.
Generally, those are both very charismatic,
two
incredibly
charming
to watch people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's like, that's this
it
movie.
Sucks.
You know, it's
it sounds like a paint-by-numbers kind of 80s thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It did well-ish. I don't know what it costs, but it made $39 million. That's not
good
bad.
In the 80s.
Like, yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that it cost more than $10 million. Yeah. Like, oh. Especially since part of the reason that, like, the director had to fight for Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines is they weren't big stars yet.
Mm.
Like, so they were not
pretty much unknown.
Chili wasn't?
Like, yeah.
In 86?
He was on SNL. Right.
Yeah.
But like,
he was
wasn't
on the
like,
upswing, but he wasn't quite.
Okay. He had been in Soap, which is a really great kind of forgotten show at this point.
I mean, SNL makes you colossally famous, especially back then, I would assume.
Yeah, but.
This was during the days when they almost canceled SNL for being
the
so
Malaysia.
Bad.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right. Okay. So, like, I mean, this was even before he was in Princess Bride, and, you know, it was another 4 years before he was in Harry and Sally and
right, I guess.
Phil City Slickers and stuff. He's a real 90s boy.
Yeah.
Really.
That's a good point.
I picture
point.
He
I like
was already old
career.
In the 90s, but, like, I guess that was
no,
his.
No, he was already, so. Like, a middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
Actor in the 90s, but, right. like, that mm-hmm. is where his bread and butter is.
Yeah. They let him be in a weird amount of rom-coms as, like, a middle-aged guy.
Yeah, but I mean, like everybody in the 90s looked 10, 20 years older than they should have.
Sure.
Just because
well,
of the hard living of the 80s.
In the
90s... And also, look, remember how the Rugrats parents were younger than we are?
Right. By
remember
a lot.
That?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, Zach knows parenthood ages you. I mean, in the last few months, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So.
I am near death, I assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot.
You look like a puffy skeleton these days.
I was going to say a scarecrow's carcass, but...
I think that requires a level of thinness that I probably don't have anymore.
There was apparently a script for a sequel that got pitched to both Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal several years later called Still Runnin', which they both turned down for reasons of, and this is the literal quote I saw, for reasons of it was bad.
I would have expected, we're famous now, so no thanks, but that also works, I guess. Hoofers. Yeah, this kind of movie had kind of passed by that point. Like, the 90s, the comedies, they weren't any smarter, but they were different for sure. Like,
well, yeah, like, this is a very 80s movie. Yeah. I don't know how long it was between the pitch for the sequel and this, but, like, it was long enough that they didn't need to make it. Like, they were big enough stars.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got nothing to say about this. It sucked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just didn't like it.
Why do we keep doing 80s movies that are, like, just 80s movies?
I,
it's,
I,
like,
again,
it's like, yeah,
I
it's
thought,
the thing you think it is. Like,
I
okay.
thought this cast was going to be, like,
oh, it is.
Something interesting. Even though like, looking back in, what, 91 with City Slickers. City Slickers is not a great movie. It just is good to make fun of.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan either.
Because, I mean, what, you got Billy Crystal, Daniel Stern, and Jack Palance. Like,
and Bruno Kirby.
And, let's not forget about the third amigo, Bruno Kirby. But, you know, it's not... It, like, parts of it are very fun and engaging, but also it's also not good. This is not good.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Palance won an Oscar for it.
I mean, as well he
what?
Should have, because he's the only thing that pulled you out of that movie.
Weird.
And then he did one-arm push-ups on stage when he accepted the award.
Yeah, at like 86 or some shit.
He was not that old, but yes, he was old.
Well, I've never been able to do those, so that's impressive, I guess.
Oh, when I had them CGs, I could. Back in the day.
Good for you.
Years and years ago.
The screenwriter of this movie, there's like a conspiracy theory around his death in real life.
Oh, what?
Just, it's like,
I didn't know about that. That sounds fun.
He went for a drive at some point and disappeared, and like a year later his car was found submerged in a reservoir or something, and like it has been noted, like it is officially listed as like, well, it seems like he probably fell asleep or had some kind of medical event and went off the road, and it was just a very unfortunate accident. But there's apparently
giant hole in the front part of his skull that couldn't have happened from blunt impact, and it had
here's this, I guess, is probably like this is the big reason for it, is he had like some screenplays that went missing after he died, and his vehicle
showing up where it did meant he had to drive 3 miles against traffic without anyone seeing him. Like, and the lights were turned off and it was at night. And like, so it's
very,
what I'm saying is we could do a true crime podcast about Gary DeVore, I think is our spinoff to faking movies. It's called Faking Murders.
Sure.
And
it would end like all of them where it just goes, oh no, he just had a heart attack and drove into a reservoir.
Well, it would end with and officially the case is still open.
Sure.
I don't want to talk like that.
I'm sorry. That was my Katrina Longworth voice.
All right.
Anyway, this.
Yeah, sounds like kind of a nothing. What do we got? Scores.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yep, sure. So with 14,000 votes, it is a 6.5.
Ooh. Hi.
Also, this one was a little long. It was an hour 47. And by a little long.
Was it really that long?
It just, like, seemed that long because I definitely, like, I totally gave up at, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes and then was just, like, sitting.
It's the beach. The beach scene is the best part.
I know, that's the only part that matters. And then it's like an hour long follow up to an awesome beach scene.
Well, and then the whole movie I'm waiting, it's like, yeah, and then they're gonna retire and we'll get another like quick little beach scene at the end of them running their bar. And they don't.
It sounds like the beach thing really smacks of like a Sandlerverse thing where they're just like, Chicago's fine, but like, what if we took a month and just went to fucking Key West? We can write that into the script.
That's totally in Chicago in the winter. Obviously.
Oh, well, there you
go. Snow everywhere. Like, it looks like I remember Chicago winters looking.
Yeah.
And that is hell on earth. I don't know why anybody lives in that city.
It's Sandler calling up David Spade being like, you want a fucking Grown Ups 3? And he's like, yeah, man, of course. Let's do it. All right. Where are we going this time? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a 6.5. So I'll go first. This movie sucks. It's boring. It means nothing. And it gets a 2-point bump for them CGs. Otherwise,
Jesus Christ,
whole 2 points. Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's two of them.
Oh, that's true. Well, there's 4 CGs. Well, that depends on how you define them, I guess.
I mean, all's quiet on my Western front, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that God, is the fucking that fire. Is the t-shirt Holy subtitle. Shit. That is solid gold, Seth. Solid gold. Oh,
God.
Be still, my beating Western friend. And then just like actual lines where the cum gutters would be on the shirt.
Jesus.
Wow.
Can we work the Maginot line in there? So
have to. Well, now it's a shirt for distinctly fewer people, I think.
Oh, where do I put the Ardennes? Is that Bush or what?
Now, if we want to sell to a British audience, we should do poppies down there. So.
Oh, Christ.
Anyway, this gets settled.
How do you get canceled in Europe? This is...
We somehow workshop a shirt down to exactly a shirt for 3 people every time.
And they're all dads.
No, they're all us.
They're us. It's the 3 of us. 100%. All right. It gets a 4. I don't know. It sucks.
Sure.
Zach, you, with your zombie movie. I like a good zombie movie.
You remembered.
Huh. I did. I like the premise. I get to take Adderall again, so like I can actually remember stuff for the first time in a couple of months.
Congrats.
Cool. Yeah. Anyway, I can actually think for a hot second, which
it's
is
great.
Lovely. I like the zombie movie, of course. I like your weird constrainment, which is running or movement, I guess.
It was running scared, and I was like, oh, there it is. It's right there. Yeah.
It totally works. And like you can make it as dark or as light as you want to and just sort of condense it. So I like that. So I'm going to give you, I don't know, an 8.
Oh, great. Perfect.
All right. Lee, what you got?
Yeah, I feel about the same way as you do, Seth, on the original. I was washing dishes and cleaning while watching it, so, like, you know, I guess it was good for them. Mm. But it wasn't, because it also wasn't distracting me from the tasks.
Yeah.
So I'll go a bit lower. I'll go 3.5.
I don't like it. I didn't like it. Zach, your movie. I am a noted not enjoyer of zombie stuff in general.
Listen, we're on the absolute end of the bell curve of the zombie-azants. Like, they're not very trendy anymore. They were,
you know, I mean, at all.
You know that I don't like. They made a Zombieland TV show briefly that had a pilot.
Yeah, I thought it didn't get picked up.
Yeah, the pilot exists. It was an Amazon pilot. But now they're making another sequel with the original cast again.
Oh.
Well, the sequel actually did well.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it is
so,
kind of fun. It's
yeah,
fun
the, So the second one did well. They tried to do a TV show. It didn't work off. Show. And then now they're doing a third one. A third actual movie.
But. Even the movie Zombieland is sort of... It's not ironic, but it's like very referential.
It's light stage, right?
It's knowing.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Very knowing. I don't care.
Yeah, it's like too much. It's like okay.
Yeah, that's why you need Last of Us style zombies that are made of fungus. I do.
I just
I
don't have
like
any patience for that. Yeah.
The visuals
I know,
of the fungus.
I'm sure it's very good.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know? You remember one cut of the dead or whatever it's called? The like. One take, or at least visually styled to look like one take Korean zombie
movie. Yes, it's very, very low budget, and it I think was one take. Or,
what?
Yeah,
are you talking about Dunkirk?
No, One Cut of the Dead. It's a movie in a movie, but it's actually an actual zombie outbreak, as it turns out, or something.
Yeah. So, did you know that the guy who the Academy Award winning director of The Artist remade that this year, and it was the opening movie out of competition at Cannes?
What the fuck?
I assume
the
it
fuck
did not go very well in that case.
I don't know. Like, why is that exist? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Why does that exist? Yeah. Anyway, Zach, your movie, I'm not going to hold my prejudice against zombie movies against you, because I think you, like, got in, got out, quick and efficient. You just, like, here's the title, here's my premise, here's what happens. Me. Sequel time, also. So, I'm going to give you a 7, just because, you know, the zombie thing isn't
totally
thing,
fine.
But,
Listen, on the faking movies studio productions, like, you do have to just, like, get the filler, the moneymakers in there. This is probably one of those.
Yeah,
like, it's one of those.
It's going to cost us $20 million. It's going to make us 60.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we can...
Maybe it makes more. Maybe it blows up.
Finance the weird cum gutters World War One epic, I guess.
Oh, man. Imagine an Osmosis Jones style movie.
David
Hyde Pierce... animated being like a some kind of cell and then having to fight through the cum trenches.
Man, we would have to pay David Hyde Pierce like $25 million just
I think if the three of us were to pitch it to him also pitch our awesome Frasier episode.
I find it lovable but naive that you think David Hyde Pierce would like us at all.
I've met him. Like, I could get us in the room.
Yeah.
Excuse me? What?
I saw Spamalot on Broadway, and I got an
autograph
from him.
Okay.
So, you know, I
met him.
That's enough of an interaction to definitely get him, quote, in the room. Yeah, for sure.
Well, just keep it in your mind, fellas, because that's going to be our real moneymaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Osmosis Jones, famously a financial success, I think so. Yeah. Ooh, for doofs.
Who was even the main in Osmosis Jones? I don't remember.
Chris
Rock?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we get Chris Rock back.
And Bill Murray in the live action.
And it turns out that it's Bill Murray's trenches. Confusing. Now we'll find somebody. It'll be Ryan Reynolds, obviously. Like, he's just he's got his fingers in everything.
You don't have to make up the trenches either. He's just got them on board already. So,
anyway.
Yeah. All right. Seth, next time you're doing a movie, I hope you like this title. I think Lee and I like the movie. So it's called Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Oh, yeah. I remember you guys talking about that once a while ago.
A famous actual thing and also a movie. So
yeah.
Yeah, we were going to give you a nothing movie like we often do, just which has a good cast, and then we both realized we don't feel like doing that right now.
We made the correct choice, and it was an older movie with like a kind of good cast that looked like dog shit, and we went, no, maybe not this time.
Mm-hmm, Yeah, no, I actually...
We're learning and growing. We're getting better.
That title. Yeah, no, it's like we're a computer algorithm. We're learning.
Well, I was going to say now that we're all medicated because I've jumped on that train.
That really does help, yeah.
It does help. It
helps provide clarity.
It certainly helps me think. I was off for like, I don't know, like 3 months, and it was a nightmare, so... nightmare of a fog, but...
Sure.
Just like the movie The Fog.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Did I make you watch that? Were you... I feel like I had a bunch of people over to my house and I made them watch The Fog.
Oh, I'm assuming,
The
remake.
The Mist.
Oh, The Mist is the one you made me watch.
Yeah.
People like The Mist. You mean the newer one? The 2007-ish one?
I think so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
People really like that.
Yeah, I did not care for
weird.
It.
Okay.
I like it.
I also remember liking it. Yeah.
I remember me and my partner and your partner giving you a real hard time about how much we weren't enjoying it, and then you turned it off because we bullied you.
It's true. I do remember that.
The darkest timeline.
Yeah, I mean, that's just sort of my life in general.
Wow. Dear God.
I get bullied into stuff. I didn't want to become a Cenobite. You made me this. You did this.
No, I think, like, by construction, Cenobites have to sort of want to be... No, actually, I don't know.
It really seems like you can accident your way into becoming...
Yeah, I also wanted it, so it's fine.
That's a tough one. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, I'm faking a movie next week.
Yep.
Called The Feast of Seven Fishes.
Sure
guess what?
That's true.
I'm going to make it weird.